Blog Talk Radio.
I can't help but when I look at you, nothing but American dreaming. Oh,
welcome back to CMO in 10. This show is presented by GPO. Our very special guest today is Dave Knox of WPP Ventures. Dave is going to discuss his great book called Predicting the Turn, the High Stakes Game of Business Between Startups and Blue Chips. Dave, welcome to our show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. I want to read a little bit about your background and then jump right into asking some questions about your book. Both you and I share a background from Procter & Gamble, and you were there for 7 years, and you were a part of the digital turnaround within our old company and made a great difference there. And then you started a wonderful organization called Brandify. Let's start with this. Dave, tell our listeners a little bit about your career journey, why you picked Procter & Gamble, and then what led to your move to be in the current position there at WPP Ventures.
Yeah, so you know, the hallmark of my career has really been digital. So I joined Procter & Gamble in 2003, you know, just after the days of the dot-com crash and everything else. And at that time, I really kind of believed that digital was going to be this transformative force, that a lot of interesting things would take place for the world of brand building. And so that was kind of a thread throughout the entire thing, led me down to do a role on the Walmart customer team. And that's actually where I met Kenny Tomlin, who was the founder of Rockfish, the agency I eventually joined. And then in, you know, around that time, 2005, was actually one of the first brand managers that was ever blogging. Almost got fired for it at the same token, because that was when people didn't know what to really do with it at the time.
Yeah.
But because of that, I was kind of seen as one of those, the brand folks that understood digital, was willing to embrace it, and was willing to give it a try. And so in 2008, I was fortunate enough that I was pulled back up to corporate to be one of the founding members of the corporate digital strategy team. And that team was really tasked with two things. It was, how do we grow the capability and the expertise for all of the marketers at P&G to learn this thing called digital and to really feel comfortable with it? And then on the flip side, how do we build the relationships, the partnerships, and the initiatives that really drive these efforts forward? So did that for till 2010, when I had the opportunity to join Rockfish as the chief marketing officer and open up our Cincinnati office. That's been an amazing experience. Ended up getting bought by WPP, have spent the last 5 years there. And then with the new year, had a chance to move over to the venture capital side of WPP as the managing director for WPP Ventures.
What a great position to be in, and your book has provided, I think, one of the most refreshing voices about today's rapid changing business environment. And one of the individuals that's in Dave's book is Sir Martin Sorrell, the CEO of WPP. And he says, however belatedly we've absorbed the new truth in business, size no longer delivers security, irrespective of sector, digital innovation can make the mightiest quake. And your book, in our opinion, is an earthquake itself, because it's going to wake up a lot of people. What personally led you to write this timely narrative?
Oh, thank you for that. That's incredibly kind words. You know, what really led it was the fact that I was spending kind of my nights and weekends in almost a Jekyll and Hyde type of moment. And what I mean by that was, you know, during the day, Rockfish was privileged to work with Fortune 500 companies like Unilever and Ford and Kimberly-Clark. And, you know, was working with brands that were thinking about this world and how to thrive and survive. And then in the nights and weekends, you know, I'm very involved with the venture capital community, both as a personal investor, advisor to several venture funds, and, you know, as the co-founder of the Brandery. And I would be working with these startups that, in some cases, they were looking to partner and work with big companies. But in many cases, they actually saw the big companies as dinosaurs. They saw them as an opportunity to exploit. And what it made me realize was there was this change in the business world, and it's why I call it the high-stakes game of business, where competition is no longer polite, and it's a different game that we're all in. And so the book was meant to be something that, you know, obviously everybody would love to sell a million copies, but it was more about that, driving that conversation that this isn't about digital marketing or about digital advertising. It's about a digital transformation business, and we all got to wake up if we want to continue winning in it.
To that end, in chapter two, which I loved about the canary in the coal mine, I want you to get down to the specific implications of your book, Predicting the Turn. When should large retailers have seen Amazon as the canary in the coal mine?
Yeah, I think the moment should have been when they started seeing the market share of one category go away. So the first time that Barnes & Noble and Borders started really seeing their business erode, that should have been a sign for a lot of people because Bezos's ambitions were pretty abundantly clear that he wasn't happy just being a book retailer. And he was going to go after category after category. So I think that should have been one. The second warning sign should have actually been Amazon Web Services, because suddenly you had a retailer that was going to have the on one side of their house the margins of a tech company that could then be used to funnel into traditional retail. And that was changing the game of what their competition looked like because they didn't have to just depend on the margins of retail anymore, or in particular grocery. So that should have been the kind of the second warning sign of, yeah, there's something different here. And I think finally, if all of those weren't enough, is the canary in the coal mine, when the fact that suddenly Amazon now has 35% share of the battery category as a whole with their private label brand and batteries, that sure better be a wake up that these guys aren't going to be content just being a nice little retailer and a small little thing.
Mm. And for those young entrepreneurs that happen to listen to our show, and I know there's about 600,000 of you, Dave, you better define what a canary in the coal mine is for them.
Happy to. So canary in the coal mine is actually something that goes back about 100 years. And it goes back to when coal mining was, you know, where we got most of our energy. And there was a scientist that was exploring why miners were suddenly dying in some of the mines and emerging with flushed red faces. And this young scientist was the one that discovered that it was actually the poisonous gases that were invisible and you couldn't smell them, you know, carbon monoxide and others, that were the culprits. And that was the issue. And so he wanted to find a way that they could detect these, you know, these silent killers, if you would. And what he found was that birds, because of the way they take in oxygen with their aerobic nature, which is what allows them to actually fly as high as they do, they were a good indicator, and they would actually be susceptible to poisonous gases before the human body. And the canary, for a reason that's a lot beyond my capability from biology, was the most susceptible. And so coal miners used to take a small canary in a wire cage with them down to the mines. And when they went into the mines, if that canary happened to start having trouble and end up dying, that was a sign the miner need to hightail out of there because they were about to be dead themselves.
Mm. I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you, Dave, that I think your book, Predicting the Turn, is the canary in the coal mine.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for that.
I actually think that after having read this book, that it could have been called Discovering Your Blind Spot. And I want you to comment today to all verticals that may be listening. What do you think is the number one blind spot that plagues big brands today?
I think the number one is making a confusion between somebody being a disruptor and being an outsider. And what I mean by that, and I'm stealing that quote from Fred Wilson, who is a venture capitalist at Union Square Ventures, who invests in Twitter and a few other pretty successful companies. And what that quote is about is that too often as a big company, you look at an innovator, an entrepreneur, a startup, and you have a false belief that they just don't get it. You know, they don't understand your category. They don't understand your industry. They're going to get caught by the buzzsaw that they just don't even see coming. And the thing every big company needs to be asking is that person truly an outsider that's not going to be able to win because of that? Or are they a disruptor that actually is seeing an unknown truth? Are they seeing something that really is an opportunity and a weakness of the industry that they can exploit? And so you take Dollar Shave Club. You know, they actually exploited a few of them. You know, the fact that, you know, you had the entire shaving category was a punchline and a joke. You know, the Onion was doing articles about the number of blades coming out and the cost of them. That was actually a consumer insight that people should have been worried about and realizing that was a blind spot for them. They should have been looking and realizing that the consumer noticeable difference of how well a Mach 3 performed versus a Fusion, that three blades was good enough for a large portion of the population. Those were all things that they kind of, I think, overestimated the importance of, and Dollar Shave was able to exploit it. So I think the biggest mistake from all companies is making that mistake of thinking everybody is an outsider that just doesn't get it, instead of recognizing where somebody might be in a disruptor that actually sees a unique insight that the big companies might have just been missing.
Mm. We're talking to Dave Knox of WPP Ventures, author of a book you have to own, Predicting the Turn. Dave, where can our listening audience buy your book today?
So the number one place to go is to Paramount Books, which is my publisher's website. And when you go there, you can actually enter the code DK2017 in numbers, and you can get $10 off. If you are an Amazon Prime member or a Kindle reader, you can also go to Amazon to purchase the book direct or to buy the Kindle version. And hopefully your favorite bookstore has it. So, you know, go support those independent booksellers as well.
You got it. And how can our listening audience find out about hiring you to be a keynote speaker?
Well, the best way is you can send me an email at dave.knox@gmail.com or any other connection of tweet me at Dave Knox or anything else you might want, but always be honored to be involved.
That is great. One final question for you as an author. We love the parallel that you made with and the metaphor of using poker. Who taught you how to play poker?
Well, so my friends all laugh because they tell you I still don't know how to play poker very well. So they love sitting down and playing the game with me. But, you know, I learned early on, you know, I come from a family where, you know, we love to play cards together at family gatherings, et cetera. So, aunts, uncles, grandparents, dad, everybody else. It was a lot of learning of a lot of different card games all when I was a young pup. I still don't play very well.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to close also with this comment. Having lived in the trenches of Tide and having introduced Dawn, that dates me, and then having been on the Doritos brand group, I wish that your voice would have been around a lot longer or sooner, because that battleground that I was involved with was all about fractions of market share. And sometimes we distanced ourselves from the consumers that we loved and coveted because we were so in the weeds about market share. And your book to me is a breath of fresh air that talks about that it's not just that battleground. That battleground is completely different and changing, and you better be a little paranoid because the disruptors are going to disrupt you.
That's exactly right, though. We have the chance to be the disruptors, disrupt the disruptors, as I call it, if we're willing to be bold enough and to move fast enough.
You bet. Hey, Dave, thank you, and look forward to seeing you in October, and you are welcome back on this show anytime. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you for creating a great show that we all enjoy to listen to.
You bet. Take care of yourself. That was Dave Knox. We appreciate him being on our show today. And thanks to GPO for sponsoring this program. GPO is a search technology and consulting company. And your local search marketing platform can help you and your brand connect with more consumers. That's what GPO is about. When consumers are looking for something, they Google it. The instant that result appears on the screen is called that zero moment of truth. It's when some become winners and others losers. As a brand, your search presence must be relevant, accurate, and abundant. GPO can help you deliver customers to your store. Folks, this is the digital age that we're in. If you want to be competitive, you have to have search presence. You can contact GPO at gpo.co to find out more about them and their performance-based engagements. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining us on CMO in 10. Join us again.